Dick Harmon. Dick, how you living?
You know, I'm living cheap and easy.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. See, then that's how you would live in my King of the World dorm room. You would live cheap because, you look, off-campus housing, you're paying, if you want a decent room, $350, $400. In my BYU King of the World housing, you're only paying $150 because it's been subsidized, probably by
there
Tiny.
There you go.
Dick, you just put out an awesome article. I love reading your stuff. This rhetoric of Quincy Lewis, this has been bounced around a lot recently. And I think when you came onto the show with us, you said that it was probably a 65% chance, somewhere around there, that Quincy Lewis would be the assistant coach at BYU. Are you still holding true to that?
I think so. I think there's two openings. He has gone after the Utah Valley job, went at it hard, people thought that he had it. Some people close to him thought that he had had it, and then Mark Pope came out from on the dark curtain and got hired. Mark is very impressive when you talk to him. He's got a great resume and played at Kentucky, played in the NBA, coached at BYU, is, you know, a good recruiter, knows his stuff, and he just kind of walked away with President Holland's endorsement. So Quincy has put his name in for the BYU assistant coaching job, and that brings out an interesting dynamic for BYU, because they have lived off Lone Peak recruits. They have lived off some players there the last 3 or 4, 5, 6 years. Quincy is a person that has known those kids since they were 7, 8 years old, all through junior high and high school. He's coached them to national championship in high school and many state championships. Now, if Quincy applied for that job, if he put his name in the ring and you turned him down, it may not be good karma for BYU, although I think that they could do that and there wouldn't be, you know, a major fallout because they maybe went another direction. So I just think the dynamic of having him throw his hat in the ring, he's not just a high school coach. He has bona fides. He's been a coach at Southern Utah. He's been a coach at Utah Valley, at SUU, Southern Utah. He has been a major college coach. Well, I can't say major college coach, but he has been out on the trail recruiting. He's worked out game plans. He's broke out films. He has been certified at one point by the NCAA to be a recruiter. But more than anything, after talking to people in the community the last week, he simply has a Rolodex that is on steroids for recruiting. And I think all those things together would point to, you know, a 70% chance that they might hire him.
I'm just hearing some news coming over the wire that Frank Bartley and Isaac Nielsen are transferring. This is coming from Jeff Goodman from ESPN. How will this affect the future team?
Well, I think it opens up scholarships is what it does. It's interesting that that happened right during the week, right after the Final Four, the coaches' convention, right after Rose had his BYU basketball banquet. Then he sits down with players and they have interviews. Every year he does this. He sits down and he says, this is where you are. This is where our future plans are for you. And then it's interesting, within a day or a week of all this happening, there's announced that transfers are occurring. So I don't know so much that these athletes have been told that they're not going to be getting much playing time, or if they are hearing what their role is going to be, they decided that they might transfer. But certainly all these things go in order of what the schedule and the agenda has been for Dave Rose the last 2 weeks.
Dick, with Frank and Isaac, it seems like this is a common theme throughout college basketball where a guy develops his game at a certain place, doesn't get the minutes he wants, and goes somewhere else where another program can benefit from that. How do you see Frank and Isaac, their development at BYU, how they were fitting in and how they may have finished their career? What part of that did they not see a part for them in what was happening in BYU basketball?
Well, you got some players coming in on the recruiting, back from missions. You got the kid, the best player in the state of Utah, coming in for 1 year. The kid at Bountiful, Sahagius, how do you say his name? You broadcasters know how to say
Zach
that.
Zach Selyus.
Selyus, yeah.
Selyus. okay, you got all these guys coming in, and they have certain value placed on them as far as what they can do. You've also got Toulson coming back, and we really didn't see how much he could do. So you got guys coming in that are probably going to be given opportunities to do certain things. Then you got Mika coming back after a year, and then you got Nick Emery that's going to be back immediately. You know, I mean, you have all these dynamic things, and some way, somehow, these two players have been told this is going to be your role, and they didn't like it. Now, for their own personal development, you go to the Christian Stewart school of going to Snow College thing, then you see that they could end up somewhere like Southern Utah, BYU, Hawaii. They could end up a lot of different places where they could probably get significant minutes, maybe 25, 30 minutes and play. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you want to do that rather than accept a role behind Corbin Kafusi and Eric Mika in years to come for Isaac Nelson or some of these other people that we just talked about if you're Frank Bartley? And so, to me, it's really a no-brainer. If they want to get out, they want to play, show what they can do. They're only going to do that if they get minutes. If those minutes have been carved up, which apparently they will be, then they lose out. So kind of a no-brainer in a way.
What were your thoughts on how Isaac Nielsen truly finished out the season? I thought there were some sparks of athleticism, length. I liked that that three-point shot that he hit in, I think it was the West Coast Conference finale. I thought he was coming on strong, and looking at how thin they are at that 4 and 5 spot, I think this does hurt BYU. Now, the guard line is strong, and, you know, Frank Bartley is, in my opinion, the best athlete on this basketball team. So do you see that this is at all detrimental to the future athleticism and also the bigs? And that the issues that they've had in the past in the West Coast Conference, in particular the Gonzaga teams that have been more athletic and bigger?
I think it does in the sense that they both know the offense, they both know the defense and their experience. Then, you know, they can't replace that. But if you look at the roles that they had, Barkley has been an off-and-on guy. He's made some spectacular plays. He's scored some big buckets. But then in the West Coast Conference Finals and in the NCAA, he ran off a couple of times and tried to take over the game, which was not his role, and it was very, very costly times in those games. And, you know, I wouldn't say that it cost him the games, but they were so critical at those junctures in those games that it hurt him. Now, Nelson, you know, he's a big guy. He's tall, like you say, could hit threes. But he was lacking on the defensive end of trying to stop people and getting rebounds at 6'10". He just wasn't a consistent rebounder. He wasn't a stopper at the rim. And so those were big liabilities for BYU's defense. Corbin Kafusi, on the other hand, started to make moves and strides and became a force towards the end of the season athletically that was pretty phenomenal. But here's the catch. Okay, what you do, you open up two scholarships. What we don't know, Ben, right now, what's transpiring and what kind of a JC player they might get. I would hope maybe a European player somebody out there they may have their eyes on that could come in and maybe do a certain number of things a lot better than Isaac Nelson. Defend at the rim and rebound. If they find somebody like that, then these two scholarships opening up give them flexibility in changing the face of what their weakness was during the course of that season. And then what was their weakness? We saw it displayed front and center in that game with Mississippi. 62 points in the second half. Just scoring at will and dunking under the basket just looked ridiculous, embarrassing. And I think, in a way, Dave Rose is trying to fix that. When you fix things like that, sometimes players are changed on the roster, and it's just part of basketball. Like Darnell said, this happens all the time.
You think they end up at Utah Valley University with Mr. Pope?
They very well could be. I mean, that would be a great situation for both of them if they're getting 30 minutes of playing time, and maybe this whole thing's been, you know, mutually worked out. I don't know. I haven't talked to either Bartley or Nelson, and I haven't talked to Pope, but it would make sense in a way that you have a member of your staff that's left. You know that these guys need more playing time. You approach Dave, you ask him, and they move in that direction. You give them 30 minutes, their career blossoms, they're on their way. They get help. BYU gets help by free and scholarships.
Dick Harmon from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. What do you think about the future of the BYU basketball team? Some of these young men that are coming back home from missions. You have Nick Emery, Calvert, Braden Schott, Idaho, Jacob Hartsock, Zach Selyus. Who will have the biggest impact from those out of those newcomers?
I think Nick Emery will probably have the biggest impact because of the range that he has and the consistency he has as a scorer. We'll have to see how he does defensively. But then I think Zahias is another player because of his versatility, his defense, the way he plays. So he'll have the same impact, I think, that Bricklett Chapman did at the University of Utah. I think there's some opportunities for them to be improved in some way. So, I don't know. And Kyle Collinsworth's coming back. That's a big, huge thing for them. I don't know. I think what we have to really hinge on is not so much offense, because these guys have been proven offensive players. We have to see where the improvement comes defensively with them. Can Nick Emery, can he guard a point guard? Can he guard a shooting guard? Just who's going to take the spot of a Skylar Halford, which was kind of a utility player, kind of a spark, kind of a guy that could come in and give you 15 to 18 points. You could almost count on that, as a senior. I mean, those are the questions that have to be answered. But I think they're answered more on the defensive end. I think, isn't Jacob Harstock coming back next year? Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is next year.
Yep.
Braden Shaw. I mean, those are key pickups for BYU. And then the transfer, Kyle Davis from Utah State. I mean, we're talking about guys in the 6'7", 6'8", range that can go in and play against West Coast Conference rebounders and shooters and, kind of match up against a guy like Jordan Loveridge at Utah. Those are the key things that I look for. Okay, who are they going to stop? Okay, who are they going to defend? And what kind of specialty thing are they going to have? Because I think they're all going to be scorers.
Dick, I wanted to get back to Quincy Lewis talk. I've been debating back and forth in my mind if it would be a wise decision to bring Quincy on. And let me explain myself. I think the obvious rhetoric would be, hey, he's going to be there. He's going to bring Frank Jackson, which is a huge recruit. He's going to be around his young men that he coached. There's going to be great chemistry there. But, I look at the repercussions of such actions. You have a group, half of your team was coached by Quincy Lewis, and they revere him as a basketball guru. And that basketball guru is going to have strong opinions about how to run things and how to do things. And he's going to want to have his voice heard. So he's not a passive, non-alpha male, guy. I mean, he is. He's an alpha. And he's proved that he can put together championship teams and compete with the elite. And then you got Coach Rose, who's a phenomenal coach as well. Will they butt heads? Will the Lone Peak crew look to Quincy Lewis more so as that mentor, as that alpha, or will they, still respect Coach Rose and what he's doing as the head coach?
That's a great question, and I think that's the key question of it all, and I think that's the number one thing that Dave Rose is going to look at. Am I bringing someone in that would be causing to rattle the chains a little bit with my other assistants who have been here for a while, have worked their butts off, spent the hours, gone to the 2 a.m. Film sessions? Is this going to be something that's going to butt heads with them? If so, and if maybe a little alpha dog thing goes on, he won't be hired. Dave simply won't hire anybody that's going to disrupt his staff. And that's the number one thing that he's looking at above all others is continuity, chemistry, relationships. Okay, if that's not going to be taken care of by this hire and Quincy, it won't happen. It just simply won't happen.
Dick, one of the guys that I'm always intrigued by when these situations come up is Austin Ainge, former BYU player that's in the Boston Celtics organization. My thought on that is that he's in a pretty good position with the Celtics. I don't know that he would want to become a college coach, but is that a possibility, do you think? Is Austin Ainge someone who may have threw his hat into the ring in this job?
I like Austin Ainge. I think he's got the personality for it. He's got the experience. He's been in the Boston Celtics organization, like you mentioned. He's got the resume here at BYU and the connection, and certainly you want to have a Danny Ainge, son in a part of what you're doing at BYU. But this time around, Darnell, for reasons I won't go into, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Dick Harmon from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Anything that you're working on right now? I mean, now that this news has dropped regarding Frank Bartley and Isaac Nielsen, are you going to be going back and looking at the roster and kind of projecting as to who those 9 or 10 spots for the trip to Spain will be given to?
Yeah, that would be a good column coming up. Yeah, I could kind of break things down. I need to talk to some sources and kind of go over some things and create a couple of arguments. And then break that down. But yeah, that might be something to do, because obviously you got some people that they're going to be very hot and heavy. There's a couple of people that will not be. Anybody that's been recruited that hasn't been part of the program, like Zach Aselius, that's just coming in as a freshman, they are automatically out. Jacob Parsak, automatically out. Braden Shaw, automatically out. So you have people there that just simply won't. I don't know if it, Nick.
Dick, do you really truly feel that they're automatically out? I mean, I think there used to be a rule that they couldn't go, but I think now if they can contribute, if the coach deems that they can contribute, they're going to have tryouts here in the summer. I mean, this is going to be competitive. Coach Rose mentioned it in his sit down interviews that this is going to be a physical, very competitive tryout.
Well, unless the NCAA rule has changed. They used to have a rule, and the reason they had that rule is they didn't want to have coaches recruit players and say, hey, if you sign with us, we're going to be going to Spain. We're going to be going to Italy. We're going to be going to South America this summer, and you'll be on board. Unless that rule has changed, I think these guys are out. Now, I could be wrong. I could be corrected. I certainly may have interpreted the real rule, but the rule used to be that newcomers, incoming freshmen or transfers, are not eligible to go overseas on a trip like this. I'll have to check to see if that's been rescinded or changed in some way. With the turnover that we have in college basketball because of the NBA with top players, you know, one and done, maybe the NCAA has looked at that and I missed it, where they said, okay, yeah, let them come in. But it used to be you could not go recruit somebody telling them you're going to Spain, because it was an unfair advantage for some other schools to do that. You can only go on these trips once in a while. But, he did mention that there's going to be, 9 players going? Well, 2 of them are just taking themselves out of the equation right now, so maybe the competition is not going to be as hard as you think.
Dick, a little bit of recruiting news. We're getting into, the summer months and all these coaches are hitting the pavement right now, focusing on in-state recruits. What do you think about this overemphasis, it seems, both from Utah and BYU, and even Utah State, talking about, we got to win in-state? I mean, there was a Ute Fast, Ute Furious video that was just created, really awkward, them driving around stating that they needed to get back those in-state recruits that people are poaching from them. Everyone seems to be focusing on in state. What lessons have they learned from past, mistakes?
Well, I think part of that comes from both fans and boosters, and from parents, where they're telling these two universities, well, why are we losing these guys? Or, why didn't you go harder after my son? Or, hey, I'm paying a lot of money to this school, and they just lost these recruits, and I don't like it. So what you're seeing is a reaction to that from last February. And, they both have their recruiting, pools that they like to fish from, and they're not going to change that. Utah goes after certain areas of Texas, and they like to look hard at some inner-city kids in California, in both Oakland and Los Angeles. And so those things are not going to change, but what they're going to do is probably put a little bit more effort to satisfy people who have criticized them since February, saying, hey, we're going after those kids. We're going to look at them harder. We're going to do that, because they have been criticized in the media and by fans and by some boosters, and they've kind of got the knock. So this is a direct reaction of that.
Dick, my final question for you, it's something that Darnell doesn't like the idea of. You heard me talking about me being the king of BYU and establishing this.
That's because I think Dick should be the king of BYU.
Well, yes. No, I would agree with you. I would vote in Dick as the king of BYU before I would vote myself in. But if I was king of BYU, I would create this 4-story dorm room with all the amenities that you could ever desire as a BYU football player, and you got your IPF there. You can wake up in the middle of the night, I want to go do some footwork. I want to go down and get a snack at the little cafeteria downstairs. It's open up 24/7. I can eat all I want. That's an NCAA rule now. You can do it. But at 6:30, that bell rings, and when we go over to practice and we get our stuff done. There's even a study hall there in that building. There's tutors there for me. I have everything that I need as a football player, as a student, all in one place. It makes it very convenient. No distractions, and I can become the best student, best football player that I can be. What say you regarding my King of the World dream?
You know, you can speak to this better than Darnell and I, because you have been a student athlete on scholarship in a program, a really restrictive program, albeit, and you understand what the benefits of that would be. You also understand how maybe restrictive it would be, especially at BYU, where if you do have a dorm, you have a curfew. And if you have a curfew, then dang it, the heck, there better be people walking in there before the doors get locked.
And I'm not talking about curfew. I'm just saying that's your living space. If you want to save money on rent, you know, you live in the dorms. I mean, I would say, yeah, you would want a rule that, you know, that's where the football players live, right? You have to, unless you get married. Unless you get married, you can move out. But I don't think you necessarily have to have like a curfew to go in there.
I don't know. Like I say, you have been in that situation. You know what the benefits would be. There's probably a great benefit in just having chemistry. But like any other family, if you put everybody together in a kettle and you turn on the heat, people are going to be, you know, there's going to be relationship problems. You can find that on a mission. Some companions you got with, some you didn't. If you're around them almost all the time and eating and sleeping and, you know, doing things, you know, there could be some negative fallout to that too, rather than, you know, having your own apartment with friends that you choose and people that you're with. So there's a lot of, I see pluses and minuses of that. But generally speaking, from what you described, I think it would be a good thing. But 1/3 of your roster is married.
Yeah. that incentive, I mean, how many bishops would love this? You just send them all into a dorm. If you get married, you get to come out. I know a lot of singles ward bishops that would love this. Well, the only way to get out of here is to get married, Matt.
Yeah, I've been one of those. And as long as the internet's controlled and the curfew's there, then it would be make things pretty easy. So there you have it. I don't know what to say. It sounds exciting, I guess, for some people, and it might build some chemistry and some good relationships. But sometimes people want to get out of the kettle and breathe and just kind of have their own freedom to do what they want to do. And sometimes at BYU, like other schools, that's where you get in trouble.
Hey, I guarantee you no one would be coming back to the dorm room, the BYU football dorm room, drinking, you know, bringing back the ladies. You know, sorry. They can only stay in the first level. I apologize. They can't go up to the second level rooms. Anyways, Dick, as always, appreciate you. Thank you so much for all of your insight. Great article on the Deseret News regarding Quincy Lewis. Can't wait till he's hired, and then we can see all the fireworks going on between Coach Rose and Quincy Lewis as they battle for that alpha dog spot.
We'll see if that happens. If there's going to be a battle, he won't be hired. I can guarantee you that will not be a hire Dave Rose will make.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Arnell. See you later.